Good afternoon from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Cromery. Juneau's Eagle Crest ski area is slated to open at a limited capacity on Saturday and Sunday after an influx of snow earlier this week. General Manager Craig Simmons says the city-owned ski area will begin operating with only the Porcupine Lift running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That lift services the mountain's easiest trails. The ski area is calling the partial opening a winter preview weekend since it's only running the one lift. Simmons says opening the other two lifts that service higher up the mountain is weather-dependent, and he couldn't give a specific date yet. This past weekend, Juneau received nearly 14 inches of snow, measured at the Juneau International Airport. The majority of it fell on Saturday and broke the record for that day in history, according to the National Weather Service. The National Weather Service forecasts sunshine and low temperatures taking hold through the weekend. More snow is forecasted Saturday evening and into early next week. This year marks Eagle Crest's 50th season as a ski area. Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cromery. Thank you for tuning in. The Rasmussen Foundation announced our list of individual artist awardees, and eight Juneau projects made the list. The 50 awards go to artists across the state who will receive $10,000 each toward a project they have planned. For artists like CJ Harrell, the grants support deeply personal projects. Harrell plans to make block print portraits depicting a dozen of the South Central Alaska homes they lived in growing up. First, they plan to travel to see the homes as they are now and meet the current residents. The grant helps pay for that. Harrell says that gives them confidence to take on the project.
I realized, like, oh man, this would take me years to save up for otherwise. And even that, like, I don't know if I would be brave enough to do this if I didn't have that funding and that support.
The project will delve into themes of poverty and abundance in rural Alaska, including Harrell's experience growing up with a parent struggling with substance abuse.
You know, the experience of being both isolated but also so surrounded by nature and other wonderful spaces and resources and beauties too, and how that kind of goes into or can soften the blow when you're dealing with other challenges.
Harrell says the project reflects experiences many Alaskans have had, but it's still uniquely theirs. Awardee Flordolino Lagundino is also using his grant to tell a story he knows intimately. He's putting on a play with Juneau nonprofit Theater Alaska that he first saw 20 years ago. The Romance of Magno Rubio is about a young Filipino farm worker finding his way in America. And he says the play is quite an undertaking.
It's a really actually difficult script to produce. It's mostly in poetry, lots of poetry in it. There's singing, there's lots of movement.
Lagundino is using some of the funding to fly in a young Filipino director he met when the man was only a high school student, and to hire more Filipino actors to fill out the roles. Theater Alaska, which he founded with other Juneau thespians in 2020, puts on a lot of shows for free or by donation. Lagundino says it would have taken years to fundraise to put on a dynamic play like this without grant funding. The story is set in California in the 1930s. Lagundino says the setting is familiar to Juneau's own migrant worker history.
The workers of this town, a lot of them have been Filipino and helped make this place.
The Romance of Magno Rubio will run this June and July. Rasmussen also awarded Ravenstail weaver Nietzscheana Gutierrez Lane Reinhardt a grant for a project he's been working toward for years, weaving a tunic completely out of John Woo or mountain goat hair. It's a traditional material for weaving in Southeast Alaska. Reinhardt began collecting the fiber from weaving mentors and naturalists as he learned how to weave.
The core reality of it is just the relationship that you have to have with other people to make something like this happen.
And he plans to document the process of using the fiber from its raw material as it becomes the woven tunic.
It really allows you the ability to slow down and recognize like how much work has gone into this craft to get it from, say, the side of a mountain somewhere in Southeast Alaska. And then, you know, just getting it to that point where you can even spin with it is like just such a celebration.
Reinhardt says the grant helps him financially support himself while devoting time and attention to the project. And he says it gives him the chance to reflect on why working with traditional materials is important to understanding weaving and think at people's long history working with the land and all of its inhabitants. The Rasmussen Foundation also awarded grants to the following Juneau artists: musicians Annie Bartholomew and the Heists, drag king Max Stout, Tlingit scholar and writer Hune Lance Twitchell, and the weaving and documentary team Gunasha Lisa Fisher and Gemini Waltz Media. The artists have a year to complete their projects. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cromery. And Governor Mike Dunleavy plans to roll out a new plan to stabilize Alaska's tumultuous state finances ahead of next month's legislative session. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the upcoming session provides Dunleavy his last chance to address an issue that's vexed his 7 years in office.
Dunleavy says relief isn't exactly around the corner. next 3, 4, 5 years are going to be tough, and we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and that's why we will roll out in a fiscal plan solutions for the next 5 years.
The state's fiscal issues are structural. Since oil prices collapsed in the mid-2010s, Alaska has spent more money than it has taken in. That's despite years of aggressive cost-cutting and a 2018 move to tap permanent fund earnings to fund state services. Dunleavy said at his annual holiday open house he expects revenue from new oil and gas development and the state's investments to eventually ease the state's budget pressure.
After that, with increased oil in the pipeline, your permanent fund corpus growing, the gas line, which should deliver anywhere between $700 million to $1 billion a year. I think the next 5 years, we're going to have to be real careful, and we're going to have in place things that will pay for government.
The Republican governor declined to reveal even the broad strokes of his plan, saying he plans to hold news conferences in the coming weeks to discuss it. Prior efforts by Dunleavy and the legislature to come to an agreement on a long-term fiscal plan, though, have failed. Dunleavy's early plans for deep cuts led to an effort to recall him. More recently, he's backed attempts to cap state spending and constitutionalize the permanent fund dividend. A prior Dunleavy revenue commissioner floated a few tax proposals during talks with the legislative committee in 2021, but Dunleavy has since distanced himself from those ideas. Alaska is the only state without a sales or income tax, but Dunleavy was noncommittal when asked directly whether his plan would include a sales tax.
You're just going to have to just wait a couple more weeks, and we'll have that entire fiscal plan laid out so you guys can take a look at it and the people in Alaska can take a look at it.
In recent years, Dunleavy has proposed budgets with large deficits that require spending from savings. His most recent budget would have drained about half of the savings in the state's $3 billion rainy day fund, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, or CBR. Still, Dunleavy says he wants to find a sustainable fiscal path forward for the state.
We are determined to help solve this longstanding issue of how do you deal with balancing the budget, and not just on the backs of the PFD or the CBR, but what other methods are we going to employ to be able to do that?
Whether lawmakers will be receptive is an open question. Democrat-heavy bipartisan coalitions control both the state House and Senate, and even some minority Republicans crossed over to override Dunleavy's vetoes repeatedly this year. Dunleavy's budget proposal is likely to offer some clues about the governor's fiscal plan. He has until December 15th to unveil it. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Skagway School is known for having the highest test scores in the state. But a newer class offering is teaching students more than just academics. KHNS's Melinda Munson has more.
It's loud in the Skagway School shop class. Holiday music plays while the students sand, saw, and carve. They're all working on different projects. Here's junior Seth Tronrud.
I'm working on a Christmas decoration. In the end, it's going to be a Christmas tree. These are going to be stacked up, and I'm probably going to paint them and sand them and such and make them look all nice. I think I'm going to give it to my mom.
Hopefully, Tronrud's mom doesn't hear this and is surprised on Christmas Day. Senior Camden Lawson is working on a different kind of project.
Making a sword. We did swords earlier in the year, and so I thought I could improve on the one I did before. Just made it bigger and spend more time on it.
He's thinking about giving the sword to his little sister. Looks like Lawson's mom is in for a surprise of her own. The shop class was reinvented 4 years ago by Aaron Schmidt, who also teaches social studies, English, and physical education. Schmidt says he wasn't the obvious choice for a shop teacher, but in a small community, everyone pitches in.
And I always say I'm just an English major trying to be useful.
Schmidt says 4 years ago, the shop had little equipment. Guided by Haynes retired shop teacher, Darwin Feeks, Schmidt applied for grants through the state's Department of Education and was able to upgrade the space.
We have a dire workforce gap. The average age in a lot of the skilled trades is in the 50s. A lot of people are retiring and not a lot of people to take their place. So the hope both here and statewide is that we can help there and help them get to a place where they can take advantage of some of the opportunities that are out there.
Sometimes students work on individual projects of their choice. Other times they're assigned a community project. The novice woodworkers have built a podium for the music teacher, a stand for the kindergartners to reach the smart board, and raised garden beds for the seniors. Schmidt says that his CTE, or Career and Technical Education class, fills a special place in the school day.
It's sweet relief to get out of a desk and work with your hands, get to talk with your buddies, and smell the smells.
Many of Schmidt's students have taken shop for multiple semesters. Tronrud, the one making the tree, hopes every student gives it a chance.
I think woodworking is kind of fun, and I feel like something people should just try out.
Schmidt's work in the program hasn't gone unnoticed. This year, he was awarded Outstanding CTE Work and Effective Student Engagement by the Alaska State Board of Education. In Chicagwe, I'm Melinda Munson.
And vehicle traffic has started on the lower Kuskokwim River. The early season truck trails are not the official Kuskokwim Ice Road, which is installed and maintained annually by Bethel Search and Rescue, among other village search and rescue teams and ice road crews. According to BSAR, trucks have reportedly been using unofficial trails to navigate stretches of the Kuskokwim. Over the weekend, members of BSAR recorded 12 to 15 inches of ice thickness on the river using an ice radar. Bethel Search and Rescue says they'll need to observe 4 to 6 more inches of ice on the river before they start plowing the official road. That road will be marked with signage and plowed and is funded annually by state transportation dollars. The early truck trails mark another wave in an early river transport this season. It comes after a pop-up of unofficial snow machine trails last week, including one between the communities of Bethel and Queethluk. Vehicle travel on the river comes around the same time as it did last year, around the first week of December. The 2024-2025 official Kuskokwim Ice Road remained a work in progress through the end of the year. This is KTOO. And according to the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 8 degrees and clear this afternoon. The low tonight won't get much lower. Tomorrow, it looks like there's a high of 15 and a low 7 degrees. This weekend, it looks like it could start off pretty sunny and cold, and there's a chance it will get some snow Saturday night. And that chance only gets higher on Sunday. In fact, there's a special weather statement from the National Weather Service about the potential for accumulating snow late this weekend. We may see some more snow Sunday night into Monday morning. This is KTOO.